to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon. Here in the Big 550 KTRS, I am Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 100% of the effort. And this is how you know your weekend is officially underway. And you know that for the next 3 hours, there won't be any talk about politics. There also won't be any talk about politics. And we certainly will not get into politics.
No.
Not on this show. That's Dan Strauss. That's Ian Geis. How are you guys?
Very good, thank you.
Great. All right, let's get into politics.
All right.
No. We do not do that. Guests on the show today include Grant Imahara, who used to be one of the Mythbusters, and now has a new show for Netflix that he's doing with his former Mythbuster colleagues, Carrie Byron and Tori Belleci. It's called The White Rabbit Project, and Netflix released it today. All 10 episodes are available right now, and he'll be on with us in the 4 o'clock hour to talk about that. Also, later on this hour, I've got a TV critic by the name of David Bianculli, who's written a new book called The Platinum Age of Television. I do not know when we stopped having the golden age of television and we moved into the platinum age of television.
No. Did we go from golden to platinum, or was there silver in the middle?
I don't know. I know that there was the year Pink Lady and Jeff was on the air. That was the lead age of television. we'll find out. He'll be on with us in about 20 minutes or so to talk about a lot of TV-related stuff. Let me start this week with a quick little story from this morning. Last week, we had our HVAC company come to the house and put in a new furnace because we've lived in the house for a long time and it's been making noise. My wife is convinced that when we had the guy come and check it this fall, he did something that made it make noise. But I told him, it was making, like he went inside and pushed the make noise button.
Yeah.
I wonder if you can change those, like a ringtone. No, that's not right.
Sure.
Get the one that goes, no, I don't like that one either. How about, no.
He just installed an MP3 player in there. He can change it up.
That's all it is.
A playlist.
No, the thing needed replacing. So they came to my house last week, and as the guy was leaving, he was explaining everything about it. We got a Wi-Fi thermostat in the house so I can adjust things for my phone. We can, schedule it so that when my wife and I aren't going to be home, it doesn't have to be as warm, but we can set it to warm up before we come home, and it's cool. And because I'm into these kind of devices,
technology,
I know I'm going to make our energy bill go up.
Probably just playing with it.
Exactly. Instead of saving money, I'm going to say, watch, just sit here. We'll make it go to 80.
Yeah.
So as he's leaving, he says, okay, now here's the paperwork for your county inspection. You don't have to do this, but you probably should. We paid for it already. It's up to you whether you do it or not. But if you're going to do it, don't wait too long because the county might change specifications or, the rules. Just have the guy come out here. He'll look at our work. As soon as you tell him that it was our company that did it, he'll recognize the name of the company. He'll come out. He'll look at it. And it'll be fine. So, okay. So you call one day, and you're automatically scheduled for the next day. And then you call that morning to have the inspector tell you what time he's going to show up. Well, I've been doing stuff for like the last week and a half during the day, and I couldn't just sit around the house.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I'm going to take a chance with Friday because I stay at home until like 2 o'clock and then come over here. So if they, you know, if they start their day at 9 o'clock, I've got a 5 hour window there where I might, I got a shot at hitting this Friday. So I set it up yesterday, 8 o'clock this morning. I called the guy. He said, I'll be there between 9 and 11. Perfect. 9:30, the doorbell rings. I go out there, and there's the guy. I open the screen door, and he hands me a package. And I said, are you a delivery man? He said, no, I'm the county inspector, but this package was sitting right out here, and I don't want to have happen to you what happened to those people in Oakville. Did you hear about this?
No.
I don't think so.
In Oakville?
Either had I. I said, well, come on in. Don't stand out there in the cold. Come on in. Tell me the story. He says, yeah, I was watching Channel 2 News last night, and apparently some older woman was going around the neighborhood in a black SUV looking at people's porches, and if they had boxes that had been delivered or packages, she was taking them.
Oh, nice.
Well, I've seen a lot of, you know, surveillance cameras with people stealing packages. All, yeah.
Well, that's what this was. That's how they caught this woman. This one couple in Oakville, they came home from work late Wednesday afternoon at like 5 o'clock. They came home. They saw there were packages on the front porch, but they didn't bring them in right away. Instead, they went in to get the dog to take them for a walk, as dog owners are wont to do, because that dog's been inside all day long, and you know that dog is thinking, it's 5 o'clock, you got 2 minutes, I'm crapping on the rug.
Right.
2 minutes, let's go! So they rushed in, they got the dog, they went for a walk, and when they came home, the packages were gone. Whoa. And they happened to have a surveillance video camera at their front door, looking at their front porch, and they could see not only this gray-haired woman in a long coat coming up and taking their stuff, but they also rewound the tape a little bit before that, and there was a black SUV that drove up and past their house and through, you know, on their street three or four times, like it was casing the joint.
Wow.
And so they called the cops, and the cops tracked the woman down, and they think that not only did she do this, they're calling her the granny who stole Christmas.
Oh.
Not only did she do this, but that she may be tied to two or three other cases of package theft.
Wow.
So I saw the piece. I looked on Channel 2's website today, and I saw it. And at the end of the story, I can't remember who the reporter was who did this. He says, police suggest having packages dropped at your back door or arranged to pick them up at the Postal Service, UPS, or FedEx. Okay, right there. There's more, but I just want to say right there, I'm not doing that. The whole idea of home delivery is it has to be delivered to my home.
Right.
I don't want to have to go and pick it up somewhere. That's the reason I ordered it on Amazon Prime, so it would come to me in 2 days for free.
And I don't think the delivery guy, whether it's UPS, FedEx, or whoever, DHL or whatever, they're not going to take it and walk around to the back of the house.
No, they've got a lot of places. They got a lot of houses they got to get to. They're on a schedule. They don't want to have to walk around the back of the house or all of that stuff.
And Oakville is a very nice area.
Mm-hmm.
And people, because I lived there forever, my daughter and her mom still live there in Oakville. And it's a place where you think, we'll get the dog, we'll go for a walk, packages are still going to be there.
I would bet you that in Oakville, a lot of people don't even lock their back door.
Yeah, I know some that don't, but they should.
Yes, they should.
Because it's not just Oakville, it's not North City.
We have friends who don't live near us anymore, so this is not the case. Don't case my neighborhood to find out who I'm talking about. But they always had their back door unlocked. They didn't care.
Yeah.
You know, they'd go away for like a week, and they'd call us and say, hey, can you do me a favor? We think we live. Can you go away? Well, we don't have a key to your house. No, the back door is open. What? That was so alien.
That's
to
crazy,
me.
Yeah. For anybody nowadays, well, I don't care where you live.
No. I agree. I'm very security conscious. I'm the guy who is always locking. I have to, like, I'll come home at night, like I'll be out playing poker, and I'll come home and my wife will be asleep, and I'll notice, hey, the blinds are open downstairs. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Oh, I just came
that's
up
my
here.
Wife, yeah.
She does the same thing?
Not only the doors locked, but the screen doors. So if I choose to go away, I don't have a screen door key. They're only, you know, I don't even know if they have locks. It's just the ones with that little switch on top.
I know.
And so I try to go in either the back or front door, and I have to go around to the other one because the screen door is locked.
By the way, is there anything less secure than a screen door lock?
I know. I know. All you have to do is pull really hard on it.
Exactly. This door is not opening unless you pole. But here's the other thing that was at the end of the Channel 2 report. After, you know, the back door or go pick them up yourself. Or let trusted neighbors know when you have an important delivery coming. Given that, you realize, I've talked about my wife's shoe obsession. I would have to call my neighbors every morning. There's probably going to be another Zappos thing on our,
yeah,
you know, or at this
UBC's
time.
UBC's box is out front.
Or at this time of the year, who knows what it is. I'm not letting anybody else know, but just watch out. If you see, here's the tip here. It's the danger of people in their 60s. They're apparently walking through your neighborhood trying to get your package. Report those people to the police. There's our message for today.
I let some neighbors know when I ordered some computers one time online from Dell, and then you have to sign for that.
Yeah.
And if I wasn't going to be home, and I would track it, and that's, it's here in St. Louis now.
Yeah.
Now, and it says it's on the truck for delivery.
Uh-huh.
So then you're thinking, okay, come on. And then you have to leave for work. It's like, oh, no, there's going to be. So I tell one of the neighbors, be on the lookout for a truck in front of my house because you'll have to sign for this. And I'll just pick it up from you when I get home.
Because you don't want that annoying door hang notice when you get home.
No.
We tried to make our delivery.
I know. It's like,
you'll have to come and get it tomorrow during the hours that you work.
I know.
Whatever. We don't know when you work, but whatever those hours are, that's the only time your package is going to be available.
That's when we're coming. Oh, man.
So there's a little tip for you today. I got to talk about John Glenn for a second. You know, we don't have anybody who we, in modern times, pretty much all can look up to as a national hero. Because our country is so divided, politically, culturally, etc., that you don't have anything that unifies the country the way the space program did when it was first starting out in the late 50s, early 60s. And John Glenn was one of those guys. And like I said, we don't talk about politics on the show, but he was a senator for all those years. I don't care about those years at all. All I care about is that this guy was one of the original astronauts, the first American to go up into orbit. He was not the first person to go into orbit. That was Yuri Gagarin from the Soviet Union, which scared the crap out of us, just like Sputnik did.
Yes.
And that's what really helped us launch the space program even further. But the thing about it, and if you've never seen the movie The Right Stuff, which is the definitive story of the early days of our space program and the earliest astronauts, those guys, the Mercury 7. You got John Glenn, Alan Shepard, Scott Carpenter, Gordon Cooper, Gus Grissom, Wally Schirra, and Deke Slayton. I can say them from memory because I know their stories so much. I was completely enamored of all of this stuff when I was growing up. The thing that people forget about this is that in the early... Because now... Do you know if we have people in space right now?
No, we were just we talked about
an American. I don't think so.
The space station.
That's the only thing.
Yeah, I don't know if there's an American on the space station.
Right, I don't even know the names of any current astronauts.
No.
I know that Sandra Magnus, because she was from Collinsville, and I interviewed her. She was several years ago. She went up there, and I knew some of the early ones who went up on the space shuttle.
But, and that Chris Hadfield, the Canadian,
yes.
I know his name because he made a pretty big splash when he was up there. A lot of video vlogs and videos while he was up
there. Yes. Oh, nice use of the word vlog.
Thank you.
You're welcome. He took his guitar up and did Space Oddity on the International Space Station. So, yes, Chris Hadfield will be another. But we don't know the names of them now.
No.
In 1959, when the space program started, and over the course of the next couple of years, these seven guys, they were on the cover of Life magazine, which I don't think even exists anymore, or if it does, it's certainly not as big as it ever was. They were our national heroes, the fact that they were going to do this. But the amazing part about what they did was they got onto a rocket. They got onto the top of a rocket.
Yeah.
And went up into space when no one had done that before. The Russians were, you know, at the same rate we were. And in both countries, when they were doing the first experiments, 95% of the rockets blew up.
Yeah, it was the space race. Remember that?
Yeah, but either on the launch pad or they would get up off, you know, past the gantry and they'd explode there, or they'd get a couple of hundred feet in the air and they'd explode there. And there's a scene in the movie, The Right Stuff, where you see these seven guys and it's a montage of them watching one rocket after another blow up. And you can see the looks on the actors' faces, which must have been just like the actual astronauts as they're watching this going, you still want me to get on the top of one of those things? And that's what they did. See, that to me, that's bravery. That's, that's absolute bravery. And the fact that he did that, and when he went up in 1962, two Americans had already gone into space. One was Alan Shepard and one was Gus Grissom. But John Glenn was the first one to go up in orbit, like Yuri Gagarin did. Gagarin did one orbit. Glenn did a few more than that. And then came back to Earth. And he was the first American to also have that feeling of, oh, my goodness, I'm burning up on reentry. Because they had problems with the heat shield. I mean, it's a long, great story, which you can find out, I'm sure, on Wikipedia in three paragraphs. And then what's amazing is he was 40 years old when he did that. 37 years later, in 1999, he went back into space at age 77. Partly as a crew member, they called him a payload specialist, but partly he was a subject of experiments because they wanted to test the parallels between the effects of aging on Earth and the effects of zero gravity on the human body up in space, which they found are surprisingly similar. So as I said, we don't have people like this anymore. Anybody you look up to, you can't name an astronaut. You don't know who's up there. You don't know what's going on. We don't have anybody who rises to the level of national hero in that way. And then there's one showbiz connection I've got to mention. There's a movie that's not out now. It's not coming out for a few weeks, so I can't review it yet. But I'll tell you, it's called Hidden Figures. I really like it. And it's about African-American women who were there at the beginning of the space race, a story I'd never heard before. And they were mathematicians who helped work on things like, what's the math to get John Glenn into orbit? And I saw this in the movie, and then I went back and fact-checked it to see if it was a true story. It is a true story. When John Glenn was getting ready to get into the elevator that would take him up to the top, to get on top of that rocket, to go up on Freedom 7, as his craft was called, he refused to go up there until this one African-American mathematician, who in the movie is played by Taraji P. Henson, until she triple-checked the numbers that all the white guys had run because she was the best expert on orbital science and mathematics at that time.
Wow.
Yeah. That's just, you know, that's part of the story. I've read tons of books about this. I've seen tons of movies about that. This movie, Hidden Figures, tells a story I did not know about the space program, and the John Glenn connection makes it even better. So we lost a hero yesterday at the age of 95 years old. Now, let's take a break, and when we come back, David Bianculli will be here to talk about the platinum age of television on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
Yeah, we're going to get a check on traffic right now with Tim Weiland.
Okay, Dan, thanks to David Solomon. Let me know that there's an accident on Highway 270. It's got the left lane blocked in both directions between Highway 159 and 157, and you do have delays in both directions. We also have an incident on westbound Manchester before Reese Road that's jamming traffic a little bit east of Highway 141, also causing the ramp from 141 onto Manchester to back up. We have some slow traffic already on southbound 270 from Page down through Doherty Ferry. We have heavy traffic on northbound 170 north of Olive up through Natural Bridge, and on southbound 170, and that goes from Forest Park Parkway down through Highway 40. This traffic report brought to you by Staples. Staples has low prices on great tech gifts like laptops, tablets, smartphones, even Apple TV. And now look for the Staples Tech Gifts coupon book for more savings. Staples, make more happen. I'm Tim Weiland from the Vincent Mortgage Traffic Center.
KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage, 314-839-9999, NMLS number 225095. The Tigers play here on KTRS.
Hello, it's Jim Hewer. On Saturday, we have Mizzou hoops for you on your home for the Missouri Tigers, but you have to get up early. It's a 10:30 pregame show with an 11 o'clock tip as the University of Missouri takes on the number 20 team in the land. That would be Sean Miller's Arizona Wildcats. On your home for the Missouri Tigers, the Big 550.
Bang!
KTRS.
We are Mizzou.
Hey, it's Randy Naughton here for Premier Heating and Cooling. Question for you. You know wintertime is setting in. Is your heating and cooling system ready for the winter? It is time to call Premier Heating and Cooling at 636-916-1122. They can come into your home and they can look at your unit to make sure it is ready for the wintertime. Premier is the first and most experienced American Standard dealer in the St. Louis and St. Charles area. They're experienced with both residential and commercial HVAC units. You can jump online and find out more at www.premierheatingcooling.net. Now is the best time to call them to make sure your furnace, boiler, or heat pump is ready for the winter. Ask about their maintenance agreements and their rebates. Do you suffer from dry, cracked skin this time of the year, too? They can help you out there as well. It is Premier Heating and Cooling at 636-916-1122 or online at premierheatingcooling.net.
St. Louis, 314-645-2000.
Frederick is the gold standard for roofing and perhaps priced a bit lower than other bonded and insured roofers. When you invest money into fixing a hole in your roof or putting on a whole new roof, you want the peace of mind that you'll get only with Frederick Roofing. Plus, you can always depend on an immaculate cleanup when the job has been completed by Frederick's own licensed and insured crews.
For a hole in your roof or a whole new roof, Roofing.
Frederick Roofing, 645-2000.
It was 4 days before Christmas when all through the house, my mother was scurrying just like a mouse in a rush to wrap up her presents with care and take them to Schnars to ship them from there. She carried the pile of gifts to her car, careful to leave the gift wrap unmarred. She pulled up to Schnars all by herself, and a red-shirted fellow offered his help. He sprang to his dolly as she opened the hatch, and gently they carried her gifts to the back. One by one, they all were weighed, and the gentleman asked of what they were made. Suddenly worried she'd arrived far too late, she asked, "Will they make it by the right date?" And I heard him exclaim as he boxed them up tight,
"They'll be there by Christmas. You made it on time." Hi, this is Frank Blair at Schnars Hardware, letting you know when you bring your gifts to our Ladue location only, we can pack them and ship them via UPS. Schnars Hardware, where we don't charge for the popcorn or the advice. Now with two locations, 9800 Clayton Road in Ladue and the former Mac Hardware at 40 East Lockwood in Webster Groves. For locations, hours, or to shop online, go to schnars.com.
Addiction can affect every family and every neighborhood. That's why there's ARCA. Find out more at ArcaMidwest.com. Whether your family is in the grips of a heroin addiction, maybe it's alcohol, maybe you're a working professional that has an addiction problem, ARCA has outpatient treatment programs as well as short-term and long-term programs to get you back up on your feet. I've seen it work myself. To find out more, 314-645-6840 or ArcaMidwest.com.
The Hip Hop Nutcracker. Hip Hop Nutcracker hits the Fabulous Fox December 21st. A holiday mashup for the entire family. Hip Hop Nutcracker is a contemporary reimagination of Tchaikovsky's timeless music. Don't miss Hip Hop Nutcracker for one night only, December 21st at the Fabulous Fox. Tickets on sale now at the Fox Box Office, MetroTix.com, or call 314-534-1111.
Tide Dry Cleaners.
We're changing dry cleaning for good.
Your local Tide Dry Cleaners helps keep you looking great so you feel your best.
Tide Dry Cleaners cares about clean clothes and a clean earth.
Green Earth Cleaning is planet and people friendly.
Our drive-through pickup and drop-off keeps you in the car when you're on the go.
First-time customers always receive 25% off.
We're on Clayton Road near Circle 7 in Baldwin.
Text Tide B to 51660 to receive special offers.
That's Tide B to 51660.
Tide Dry Cleaners.
We're changing dry cleaning for good.
We'll see you soon.
Join the barbecue revolution every Sunday night from 4 to 5 p.m. on the Big 550 KTRS.
Join Frank and Kevin on the Big Barbecue Show every Sunday on the Big 550 KTRS from 4 to 5 p.m.
To be jolly.
The Big 550 is celebrating the 12 days of Christmas our way by giving the gifts to you.
Ho, ho, ho.
Each weekday during the event, go to KTRS.com to register for that day's $250 gift card from one of our sponsors, which changes each weekday at midnight. midnight. 12 days, 12 prizes. And John Carney will announce the winner the next weekday. It's that simple. Be sure to register to win today's prize. A $250 gift card from Westport Plaza and Bluss Jewelers.
Merry Christmas!
From Annie Guns and the Smokehouse Market, Redexum Turf Products, Bluss Jewelers, Heidi Sewing, G&W Sausage, Brody's Lamps, and the Big 550.
Ho, ho, ho.
KTRS.
Merry Christmas!
Frank Zappa did that song, I Am the Slime, oozing out from your TV set, which is an interesting way to bring on my next guest, David Bianculli, who is the founder of the website TV Worth Watching and a professor at Rowan University in New Jersey. The last time I spoke with David on the air was when he published Dangerously Funny, a book about the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour that became the definitive book about that show. Now he's back with a new one called The Platinum Age of Television, from I Love Lucy to The Walking Dead, How TV Became Terrific. David, welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me, and I'm sorry my titles and my books keep getting longer.
That's okay. You know, I'm old enough to remember an era when there was no colon in a title of a book. You just had the book. You didn't have to have a subtitle after it.
I know, and now I've got, it may even actually be two subtitles. I think I may have hit some sort of personal record here.
You first coined the phrase, the platinum age of television, in 1992, but in the book you say it didn't actually start till 1999. So why were you premature?
Well, actually, in real life, I was 3 months premature. But in this book, I had to define what it really was. If the golden age of television was the 50s, and, you know, television really got good with live TV and live drama, then when did it change again? And I came up with three possible start points. So you can tell me which one you think is the best. There's 1970 with the start of the Mary Tyler Moore Show and MTM Productions. There's 1980 with the start of Hill Street Blues. And then there's 1999 with the start of The Sopranos and The West Wing. And The West Wing, one of the last great broadcast shows, and The Sopranos, one of the first great cable dramas. And I went with the most recent one.
But does that mean that now is better?
Yes, it does. And I'm an old fart, so it pains me to say that. I'm much more of a get-off-my-lawn kind of guy, and I would love to say, oh, no, they haven't made television since they did it in 1961 with East Side, West Side.
Oh, no.
But it is better now. It is better now. And I love, I mean, I wrote a whole book on the Smothers Brothers, and that was a variety show in the 60s. So I am very aware of excellence that was done in previous decades, but there is an evolution that I am able to catalog and witness, and I hope argue successfully, that makes television better now, both in quantity and quality.
What about the John Landgraf comment that we now have too much television?
Well, I sympathize with him. He's an executive who makes it, and his perspective is that there's too much good television because it's hard for him to get the attention of viewers and critics for the stuff that he makes because there's just too much of it. As a TV critic, I agree that there's too much. It's overwhelming. But I think I'm being really churlish if I complain about that, because in the 70s, I would have begged for too much good TV. So, you know, now that it's finally here, it should be, that's a good problem. That's my problem to have to deal with.
But it's a difficult thing for the viewer to be able to keep up with, because television is no longer being created by just those channels that normally come through your cable or satellite service. Now, because of Amazon Prime Video and Netflix and Hulu and on and on and on, there are a myriad of these streaming companies that are creating things. There, you know, I know your website, TV Worth Watching, gives people tips on what's there, but it's nothing like the days where, okay, the TV Guide is here this week, let's go and see what's there or what's going on with premiere week in September when the new shows are on. How do you even keep up with it?
Well, you're absolutely right. And first of all, it's hard to keep up with it. And second of all, I would love to say, well, this obviously makes a website like mine so valuable, because in this fractured TV universe, everybody needs to find out what's out there that's really good. Except the universe is so fractured, most people can't even find my website. I'll tell you, I swim in the irony, and it's a riptide.
Yeah, but I get a lot of recommendations from friends. I mean, I probably am aware of more things than most people because of what I do for a living, about what's out there. But I also have a lot of people and a lot of listeners and a lot of readers of my website who tell me about recommendations. If it weren't for them, I wouldn't have found things like there's a series on Netflix called Marcella. That,
yes.
If a friend hadn't told me about that, I would never have known that existed.
And look, Netflix, all of a sudden in the last few months, has decided that it wants to come out with new shows and specials every week now. It's almost like a restaurant, not a streaming service. And it is hard to keep up with all of these, and Acorn TV and Hulu. But whenever I find something that's good enough to share, and to really get excited about, that's what I love most about being a critic. It's not dumping on bad shows.
Yeah.
That's no fun at all.
Right.
And way too easy. But to steer people towards good stuff is fun.
I know that feeling of having to sit through garbage, and you walk out and you go, oh, you know, whether it's a movie or a TV show, when it's over, you go, oh, I'll never get that time back.
And your job requires you to do what mine. That's why it's a job.
Yeah.
When you know instantly that something's bad, and you've got to keep watching it, that's when it's work.
You know, at the other end of the spectrum, besides all the new stuff that's out there, is so much old stuff that's also available, whether it's on YouTube or through these streaming services, or, you know, Antenna TV and Get TV and Me TV and all these channels that are dedicated to just reruns.
Well, you're good. You actually just named a lot of them. And Cozy TV, yep.
I never heard of that one.
Oh, there you go.
But
I have another one to look up.
I have a specific example for you of why nostalgia, you know, the old line, nostalgia ain't what it used to be. And here's a perfect example.
Yes.
Last year, when they came out with the feature film version of The Man from U.N.C.L.E.,
uh-huh.
I flashed back to my boyhood when I loved that the secret agents and Open Channel D and Robert Vaughn and David mm-hmm. McCallum and Napoleon Solo and Ilya Kuryakin and Leo G. Carroll. I mean, I remembered it like it was yesterday. And so I went and I found an old episode of The Man from U.N.C.L.E., and boy, was it bad.
Oh, it's, you know, it's fun to revisit those things from your youth. And
no, it's not. It ruined it for me, David.
Shots or any of the bad technical things, or and you forgave, you know. I love watching old Mission Impossibles because they go to a different country every year without leaving the back lot, and they just change the stop signs to Halton, you know, or something like that. They just, you know, it's just,
or they're in a white panel truck and it says GAZ on the side because they're from a gas company.
Yes,
gas,
exactly. So I mean, this is what we talk about when I talk about the evolution of television. It's one of the ways that it's evolved is that as everyday viewers, we're not settling for less. I mean, our standards are higher, but back then, really, you know, I Spy, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., that was about as good as it got back then.
Yeah.
It's just, thank goodness, it kept getting better.
It ruined it for me. It ruined a childhood memory. Don't go back and watch too many of those things because they'll come back to haunt you. Now, on the other hand,
on the other hand, go back to The Girl from U.N.C.L.E. That,
well,
never mind, go ahead.
Stephanie Powers.
Or The Brady Bunch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or you know what? I wanted to ask you about this. The Dick Van Dyke Show is a show that I loved, and I taught my daughter about it, and she loved it. And this Sunday night, CBS is going to air two colorized episodes of the Dick Van Dyke Show. What do you think of that?
I don't know what color, you know, Laura Petrie's capri pants are going to be.
That doesn't matter to me as long as they're capris on Harry Tyler Moore.
I've watched the colorized I Love Lucy's that CBS has done lately for the holidays.
Yeah,
they just did one last week, and I'm not as repulsed by them as I thought I would be.
Mm.
But as a purist, I will always stick with the black and white, and I will always show the black and whites. Excuse me, to my students, but I understand that the network wants to do. My students have to watch black and white. Other 20-year-olds, they just won't. And so the networks are trying to figure out a way to introduce this old TV to a new audience, because there are all those networks you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people aren't going to those. A lot of people, the DVDs are out there in box sets. You can get The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Nobody's going to that.
Right.
Or a few people. The irony, another irony in which to swim, is that more old TV is out there than ever before, but it isn't being absorbed more than ever before.
Who has time with all the new TV?
Right. There you go. There you go.
All right. In your book, The Platinum Age of Television, you interview a whole bunch of people who created some great TV through the years. Mel Brooks, Carol Burnett, Vince Gilligan, Kevin Spacey, Aaron Sorkin, David E. Kelly, Larry David, David Simon, Ken Burns. But I'm most interested in your encounter with Louis C.K.
Oh, good for you. You have good taste.
Thank you.
Well, it's just, that's the only one in the whole book where I put in a transcript, because I thought the back and forth between the two of us was so interesting. So when I say you have good taste, I'm really glad that you liked that, because that was sort of a roll of the dice for me. I didn't know if anybody else would care about an artist talking to a critic when halfway through the interview, when I'm talking about, you know, leading up to how much I love his work, and we get to a point where we're going through his work chronologically, and we get to one, you know, before he did Louis on FX, which I think is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
He did Lucky Louis on HBO, which I didn't like all that much.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I say that to him, he says, "Oh, you hated it." And he quotes me where I couldn't have quoted me, and then goes off and explains his reaction to my review, and we had a long talk about it. It was great.
Now, were you flattered that he would remember your review, or a little bit worried about what his reaction might be, because you were so negative about that show?
Oh, I was. Well, I didn't remember being that negative about it until he quoted from memory that I had basically said something. I'm paraphrasing now, but Louis C.K. could probably tell you directly that I had said something like HBO should show that it has good taste by canceling his show rather than giving it an automatic second season renewal like it's doing with so many other programs.
Yeah.
You know, and he's saying your comment, if HBO follows it, is going to put people out of work right about the Christmas holidays. And he said that he wrote that in an email to me. And I told him I never got it. And he said, well, I never sent it. And then he said the reason is because he realized we were both in the same arena, we both cared about TV deeply, and we should both be happy about caring as much as we did about what we were making and watching. And then because of the lessons that he learned from Lucky Louie, when he went on to do Louie, instead of having a writing staff, he did it himself. He took less money to do it the way he wanted, and he emerged with something brilliant. You know, so he told me that he wouldn't have had Louis if not for Lucky Louis and my reviews and reviews of people like me. I don't necessarily believe that. He probably would have gotten there anyway. But it made for a fascinating, and I'd never talked to him before. That was my first conversation with him.
Mm-hmm. Did that conversation with his very, very good memory of what you had said negatively about his work, did that affect the way you thought when you wrote reviews of anything else after that? Did you think, oh, I wonder how this person's going to take this?
Well, you know, I never considered myself a negative critic. I always thought that if I'm going to say things, I'm going to be constructive about my criticism. But there was not much that was constructive there. And I think I just really didn't like his show, and I took it out on his show. And I feel, you know, a little bad. And I said to him, I said, I hope you feel, you know, better about how much I loved Louis, and that you'll, you know. And he goes, no, you're missing the whole point here. It's not that I have to agree or disagree with your opinion, whether you like me or not. It's just, it's important that you got, you know, you got to the point in your career where you could give an opinion and it would reach me. And I got in the, you know, I got to the point in my career where I could make things to elicit your opinion.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's really something that I hadn't stopped to think about. So I'm very grateful for that conversation.
The other takeaway from your conversation with Louis is, if you had asked me to guess what was Louis C.K.'s favorite sitcom when he was growing up, I would have listed 100 different shows before I said Good Times.
Isn't it something? And I'll tell you what, I learned so much from doing the interviews with all of these people, because accidentally, when I did the first interview with Mel Brooks, I started with 6 questions that I was going to ask everybody. I was going to call all the people I could and ask them the same 6 questions, sort of like James Lipton.
Mm-hmm.
And my editor at Doubleday said, you're a better writer than that. Do profiles. Do full interviews. And so I went back to Mel Brooks and apologized. I got to ask you some more questions. But when I started asking about the programs that influenced him the most, the ones he loved the most as a kid, and for him it was radio, not TV, I didn't say, well, what did you think of, Gunsmoke, or what did you think of Amos and Andy? I just said, what were your favorites? I never suggested to anybody I interviewed, what did you think of All in the Family? What did you think of The Twilight Zone? And so every name that came up was from them, mm-hmm. and from their memory, from their heart, from their soul, and so many of them were fascinating. Twilight Zone gets mentioned more than any other show. I wouldn't have guessed that.
And by the way, while we're giving out recommendations for things to watch streaming, the latest version of that, if you will, is Black Mirror, which is on Netflix.
Oh, yes.
Which is an absolutely terrific show. People always ask me, what would you recommend I watch? That's it.
Yes, but you have to also tell them that with a warning. Strap in. If you're going to watch that from the beginning, the first episode from the first season is rough.
Yeah, I tell them, don't start with the first episode. Yeah. Watch that one last.
Wow, that's actually good advice.
Thank you. Yes. Before I let you go here, David, we started off here and you were mentioning some of the landmarks in television, and you mentioned 2 of them, The Mary Tyler Moore Show and Hill Street Blues. Both of them came under the heading of TV that was developed by a man named Grant Tinker.
Oh, yeah.
Who we just lost last week. Give me a few thoughts about the legacy of this man.
It's so coincidental that you asked me this question, because on today's Fresh Air, I'm the TV critic for that,
yep.
for that program.
Mm-hmm.
I did a tribute to Grant Tinker.
Ah.
And it's a little late, but he changed television for the better more than any other TV executive in history, and a production head in history too. He, as in both hats, he did better by just identifying the most talented people and then protecting them and letting them do their best work.
And by the way, for more than 2 decades, 2 different companies created some of the best television of that era, which I would include in the platinum age of television. Even though you say it starts in 99, I think we could expand it to include all of that.
The thing is that I say that the platinum age begins in 99, but if you're looking at the evolution of it, because really the book is not just covering TV from 99, it's the whole history of television, and it's like, where did quality come from? And you say, okay, go back to 1970, go back to Grant Tinker and MTM Enterprises and yep. all of those shows, and then how the Mary Tyler Moore Show as a comedy leads to Lou Grant as a comedy-drama hybrid, which leads to everything, from Breaking Bad to The Sopranos. Any type of quality TV show you see today in terms of drama has comedy elements in it that it didn't have before Lou Grant.
The book is called The Platinum Age of Television. In it, I should mention that David also breaks things down and lists the 5 most influential shows in a whole bunch of categories, from children's programs to animation to sitcoms to crime to dramas to soap operas to medical shows to late night shows and on and on and on. It's quite a read. The Platinum Age of Television, from I Love Lucy to The Walking Dead, How TV Became Terrific. David Bianculli's website is TV Worth Watching, and thank you today for being radio worth listening to.
Well, thanks so much for having me. 2 books in a row, you should get some sort of an award.
Well, thank you. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.
Thanks so much, Paul.
All right, let's get a look at traffic now. Here's Tim Weiland.
Okay, Dan, you've got an accident blocking the ramp. It's completely closed right now. Northbound 55 onto westbound Highway 44. It looks like the accident in Illinois between 157 and 159 is just affecting the eastbound drivers. They had the left lane shut down. You're backed up to Highway 157. Eastbound 270 is also slowing now between Missouri Bottom and Highway 170. Southbound 170, stop and go from Olive down through Highway 40. We've got westbound 40 drivers slowing, approaching Kings Highway out through McCausland. A little bit sluggish, we'll call it now, between Clayton Warson out through Spady and heavy again from Clarkson through Boone's Crossing. This traffic report brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Taking your child's temperature shouldn't be as stressful as fighting through traffic with the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. One gentle forehead scan is all it takes. Pick one up at your local club, warehouse, or other fine retailers today. I'm Tim Weiland from the Vincent Mortgage Traffic Center.
KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage, 314-839-9999, NMLS number 225095.
When choosing a financial planner to manage your money, make sure they remember this. It's your money. Your unique plan is created around your family goals as well as your financial resources. The professionals at Six Point Financial Group provide personalized financial planning services along with independent and unbiased investment recommendations. The personal service begins the very first time you meet with Six Point Financial Group and continues with discussions of your financial goals as well as planning for future generations. Point number six of the financial planning process is retirement planning. Here's how it works for you. How do you want to spend your 60s, your 70s, and your 80s? This is something Six Point Financial Group will be talking with you about a lot. Tell them what you want, and they'll design a roadmap to get you there. To learn about the other 5 points of their financial planning process, visit sixpointgroup.com. Let Six Point Financial help you plan for tomorrow and live for today.
Securities offered through Crown Capital Securities, LP, a registered broker-dealer. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Hunters, visit G&W Meat for your deer processing. That's G&W Meat and Bavarian Style Sausage Company. G&W processes each deer separately, so the venison you get back is from your deer. This holiday season, get family and friends a St. Louis Bread Company gift card. For every $50...